That's a good reminder to me because I have to do my waivers after this and I have Robbie Gould on a team.
Oh, fuck. I shouldn't have said shit.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, what do we podcast for?
Yeah, to remind each other about your kicker waivers. That's the only reason.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with my good pal, Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's going on, dude?
What's going on, Walsh? I'm ready for the more drunk version of part one.
Yeah, it's part two of the week four preview, otherwise known as the weekly part where you know, whoever is doing this takes about a 5 minute break, even though you hear it the next day, and we keep drinking beers. So this is the part where we start three beers in and finish about six beers in. So anyway, Vinny. With that out of the way, now that we've gone inside baseball and explained exactly how this is going to go, we're here because of auction draft. So while the NFL season may have officially kicked off, your hopes of drafting a fantasy team for 2018 is not gone. With auction draft, you can draft your team at any time, and you have a 5 week season with your friends. So that way, when you pay too much for Le'Veon Bell, hoping he shows up to camp and he doesn't show up, you get another shot to get it right in 5 weeks. You can sign up now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft. Use the promo code LTFF. Save 50% off your league. All right, Vin. We got seven games here. We got some listener questions. And I think we're ready to rock and roll. So let's jump right into it. We'll go Eagles at Titans. The Eagles are a 4-point favorite on the road, and the over-under here is 41.5. So not a ton really expected in terms of scoring during this game. We don't particularly like that from a fantasy perspective. But Carson Wentz in his first game back this past week was pretty decent. What do you think about him this week?
Yeah, he started off very sexy and then kind of showed some rust. So I think that'll continue to shake out. But I don't love this matchup as the away team going against the Titans, whose defense has been pretty good. So I'd be nervous to roll out Wentz. I think a lot of people are doing it, but I would advise against it. Maybe look for an Andy Dalton or some other guys we've talked about. But I would imagine most people roll him out, although I am scared.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm not in love with Wentz. I think if you drafted him, one, weird, and two, you know, you don't need to play him. There are other plays. So let's talk about his pass catchers a little bit. I think up until this past week, we were pretty much comfortable with Zach Ertz and Nelson Agholor in terms of Eagles pass catchers. Has that list just narrowed to Zach Ertz, or are you still on Agholor?
I could still see Agholor being, you know, pretty deep. Like, it's just, he gets so many looks and will, you know, be part of like the short game, which I think Wentz targets a lot. Then he goes to like Ertz a lot, Agholor a lot. It's just his touchdown upside is pretty weak, but, in a game that it's going to be very low scoring. So I think Agholor could work up some PPR points, but not in any other sort of fashion. Like, I don't see him finding the end zone or anything special like that. So if you have a better matchup-based play, like a Tyler Boyd, even a Mohamed Sanu, I'd probably prefer that over Agholor.
Okay, that's fair. I think it's worth noting that a lot of Aguilar's volume-based production has come with Nick Foles in his career. So at the beginning of last season with Ertz, Agholor was sort of a mid-volume, like somewhere from 5 to 7 targets, would occasionally get in the end zone, that kind of thing. And a lot of the stuff where he was getting these 8, 9, 10 targets came with Nick Foles. So I don't know if that chemistry is entirely there with Agholor as much as it is with a guy like Zach Ertz. The interesting thing in that pass game, and well, so there's a couple. One, Alshon Jeffery is back to practice. He's limited in practice. We don't know really anything about his status this week, but it's possible he might be out there. So keep an eye on that. I think the other interesting thing was the emergence of rookie Dallas Goedert at tight end. You know, this past week, He was on the field for 67% of the snaps with Carson Wentz, had seven targets, caught all seven of them, 73 yards and one touchdown. So, you know, obviously that's a hyper efficient performance, but we've been saying it the whole time. Tight end sucks. If you've got a guy who's going to be on the field for 67% of the snaps and Carson Wentz is willing to target him, do you have any interest in Dallas Goedert?
Nah, fuck that. I don't like that at all, dude.
So, all right, I'll go fuck myself.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away. Don't necessarily fuck yourself, Walsh, but like, I don't know, get lost or something. But it's not a bad take, but I'm going to stay completely away from that. Rather play a very long, long list of garbage tight ends other than him. Because I feel like he'll get burned very hard. Like, we saw Trey Burton sort of emerge at times when Ertz was out and then, you know, sneaking a touchdown in random games last year. But I don't know. Just Wentz likes his tight ends, but it's just all Ertz straight up. He's going to have a great game.
Seven targets. Seven.
I don't give a shit.
Okay. All right. No, that's probably a fair take and probably the right one. Like, I'm probably just chasing points at this stage. But I don't know. I thought it was worth bringing up. Let's talk about the running backs. Ajayi should be back. We saw Smallwood get involved a little bit more when I thought it was going to be Corey Clement's backfield to kind of own. I don't want any fucking part of it.
Yeah, I will also take part in none of this. So I don't like it because no one's playing Smallwood. Like, you could pick him up, stash him in a deeper league. Like, I don't care, but you're not rolling him out here. And Clement, we just saw last week in a good matchup, just ceded all the good stuff to Wendell Smallwood and he got burned. So I don't like any of that. And I think Ajayi was still out of practice, so I don't even know if he's going to necessarily miss or be active, surprisingly. Regardless of his status, we've seen this backfield be completely unreliable. So stay far away, and this game should probably be relatively low scoring. So I'd kind of just stay away from all those guys because their touchdown upside is very limited.
Yeah, absolutely. Onto the Titans side of the ball, Marcus Mariota is going to start this week. Don also, breaking news from the DON, he just texted us and said, Rishard Matthews wants a trade, apparently, or some shit like that. I don't think that matters. I don't think any of this matters. I don't think you should play a single Titan.
No. I will say, maybe Deion Lewis, even though he's been very unreliable, this could be a game that gets away from the Titans early, and they will have to pass to him a ton because Derrick Henry is bad right now.
Yeah, I'm a huge Deion Lewis owner. He only has four targets over the past 2 weeks combined. I'm trying to look elsewhere very actively. I might be forced into it in a league, but I'm not going to like it at all.
Yeah, that's sticky, very sticky.
Yeah, it's real. That's the right word for it. It's real sticky. I don't like it. Eagles favorites by four. Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I'd like to pick the Titans in a shocker after they took out the Jags, but I'll go Eagles as well with the big time under.
Can you believe the Titans are 2-1? It's them and the Dolphins where I look at their actual records and I'm like, how the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, I think I talked about it early in the preseason. I'm like, I feel like every win the Titans get, they don't deserve.
Yeah.
When I watch the game, I'm like, oh, that could have swung the other way big time.
Yeah. Somehow they, what was it? They beat the Jags this past week. It's like, how did that happen? The Jaguars are kind of good. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Dumb.
Let's move on to another game that I'm going to be mad about, the Browns at the Raiders. We've got the Raiders is a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is 45, but we're going to start on the Browns side of the ball with Baker Mayfield getting his first career start. I like the matchup. I think you can play Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, pick up Baker, man. Browns are good. Like, they are a good team. They might not win a ton of games, but I think they're going to be in a lot of fights this year. And Baker is definitely a guy that I'm targeting as, like, let's say you had Jimmy G, I would pick up Baker or, you know, any sort of other desperate. Like, if you're looking for the long-term shot, pick up Baker big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a great match to roll him out too for the first matchup. This is great.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, the Raiders are 31st in Football Outsiders DVOA. That's bad. And Baker looked really good this past Thursday against the Jets. He looked very, very good. And what you were saying with the Browns being good, like the Browns should be 3-0 right now. Like, and that's not even like that's like replacement level quarterback play and or a competent kicker gets them to 3-0. Not even like and. It's like either one of that, those two things, gets them to 3-0. Like their defense is good. Their skill position players have been good. Carlos Hyde has quietly been one of the most productive fantasy running backs in the league and is another must start in this game. So yeah, they're good. I think you play Mayfield. I think you play Hyde. I think you play Antonio Callaway. Maybe not David Njoku, but I like those other guys.
Yeah, I think I sort of breathed loudly when you said Callaway because he's just so like raw right now.
Ten targets.
I don't care, Walsh. I'm actually mad because I took a player prop bet with Callaway to have over 33.5 yards versus the Jets, and that motherfucker got 20
on like, 10 targets.
Yeah, that's trash, dude.
And, I mean, half of that was like Tyrod missing him by an inch when he should have had an easy touchdown. Right. But
I could have had that bet locked up, sealed. And like on those routes, Callaway just looked lazy. I mean, Tyrod missed him, but dude, like try for the ball. Like he's just like, let it come to me. And then if it doesn't, I'm not jumping or anything. And we've seen people like Tyreek Hill, same stature, speed, like jump the fuck up in the air for some ball. So like that dude has to start playing. But yeah, they're skill position players. You can definitely roll them out. I think you're just loving the matchup. So Callaway is some guy you could play in the flex if you're desperate. But everything else is right. And I will say with Njoku, once Baker came in, he started looking good, got some looks. So maybe that breakout's closer than we thought. And certainly better rapport with Baker immediately, like right away in that Jets game, than he had with Tyrod most of the season.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Interesting stat regarding the Raiders and their propensity to give up big plays in terms of Antonio Callaway. A quarter, 25% of completions or the Raiders' completions against them have been for 20 or more yards. So Raiders give up big plays. And Antonio Callaway is a big play guy. I'm going to be playing him where I can this week. But I understand the reticence there. Raiders side of the ball, unless you want to talk about like Duke Johnson or some shit.
I was going to slightly mention Rashard Higgins.
Yeah. Like I didn't Matt see that was one coming.
Yeah. So me and Matt did the recap, I think last week. And he was saying, we did the preview for the Thursday night Jets Browns.
Right.
Higgins is out there a lot and he is seeing a higher snap share out there. So he's a radar guy. Like just keep track of him, see what happens. Especially if Callaway starts, slipping shit up. But he is out there for a large majority of the snaps. He's a good wide receiver. Just need to see how he looks in the Baker-led offense for the Browns.
Cool. I like that. Let's move to the Raiders side of the ball. Derek Carr hasn't really played terrible. He was bad in that first game. He hasn't played terrible in these past two. But I don't think he's a guy you really want to be playing against this Browns defense, which is fourth in DVOA. They've forced the most turnovers in the league of any defense. I think the Browns defense is a decent one to start in this game. They've forced a lot of turnovers. So I don't like Derek Carr. Do you like any of his passing weapons? And if so, which ones? Because God, does it move from game to game? Which one is getting the work?
By my calculations, it is going to be a huge game for Martavis Bryant. Just because that's how shit goes now.
Yeah, right?
Gruden can't game plan around more than one person. He's just like, all Jordy, all Cooper.
So all Jared Cook.
And it's, exactly. It's all garbage. So don't play any of those people. They're not trustworthy. And like Cooper's the biggest bummer to me because he's, at least I thought, was a very talented wide receiver who could be an easy lock for like wide receiver one on an NFL team. And he's been anything but, and we've just been trying to make him that for a long time. So I think all these guys are safe sits. Don't chase points with Jordy. You don't have to roll Cooper out at all. And, you know, it's just, if you're playing Cook, sure. I think he, is he injured, Walsh? I know he's sort of banged up. I don't know if he's missing practice, though.
He's been limited in practice, but he should be able to go this week.
Yeah, Cook's a guy you can roll out. He's the one guy, like, tight end so bad, and they like Cook a lot, so he's one.
I'd rather play Dallas Goedert.
All right, I would not. So that
was kind of me just being a dick.
Draw the line in the sand.
So with these pass catching options, I'm going to plant my flag on Cooper this week in terms of the person to play. Cleveland's allowed a decent amount of points to opposing wide receiver ones. And I think at this point, Cooper's still their wide receiver one. I think you can also chalk last week up to, I mentioned on part one of the week four preview, if you haven't listened to that yet, that I think Xavien Howard of the Dolphins is slowly but surely becoming one of the league's premier shutdown corners. And he was shadowing Cooper this past week. So I think Cooper has a chance to really sort of rebound. I don't think he should chase points with Jordy, who had a 66-yard catch and also a 61-yard catch this past week. That seems unlikely to repeat itself. So yeah, I'm on Cooper. I guess the only other guy to talk about is Marshawn Lynch. He has a touchdown in each of the first three games. Do you like him this game?
I don't think I'll ever like playing Marshawn Lynch, but he has the potential to get a touchdown literally every single game. So if you're in a spot, sure. Would I bank on it? Fuck no.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think if you've been playing him, if you've been riding him and you don't have better options, like, yeah, absolutely. You know, if they get within the 5-yard line, they're probably going to give him the ball. So yeah, sure. He's like Kenyon Drake in that he's a touchdown dependent RB2, but the difference is he actually scores touchdowns. Yeah, suck it, Kenyon Drake. Unnecessary shot at you. All right. Who you got in this one?
Oh, man, I'm going to take the Browns, dude, on a win streak. And I'll take the over.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm taking the Browns in the over. I have lost all faith in the Raiders.
As you should, man. Gruden is, I don't even know if it's necessarily his fault, but I'd like to say it is all of his fault.
It's not his fault. I'll say that much. All these great games are fucking gross. Let's move on to Seahawks at Cardinals. Yeah, why do we even need to talk about this? Seattle's a road favorite by 3 points. Over under is 38.5. The big news on the Cardinals side of the ball is that Josh Rosen is going to start. So since we brought that up, let's start on the Cardinals side of the ball. What should a David Johnson owner do this game, Vinny?
I don't know, Walsh. You tell me, man, because you're a David Johnson owner in every single league. From an outside perspective, I feel like I would be a person looking to trade to get him. But then again, I'm like, why would I do that to myself? Because it just looks so not promising.
So it can only go up, right? That's like myself.
it could stay just like a flat line of just like David Johnson. Just boom.
Shit.
It's all the game. Like, what are you doing? Nothing's wrong with him at all.
Yeah,
nothing's wrong with the guy.
I already went on my rant last week for probably a solid 2 minutes to Shrek about their offense. So I won't dive back into that. But I think as a David Johnson owner and you know, someone who should be recommending what to do with him, I'm holding him and I am playing him. I feel like the offense with Josh Rosen, you know, he didn't show shit this past week when they put him in, but that was a bad situation for them to put him into. The Seahawks defense isn't great. He's got a full week to prepare as the starter. For me, I'm looking at this and I'm having to look at this glass half full, trust me on this, but for me, I'm looking at this as, okay, there's a chance that this gets turned around. And the Seahawks defense isn't great. I think David Johnson is a good start this week. I think you should be starting him. You know, if you do have him on your team, I think you can sit Larry Fitzgerald, no problem. But David Johnson, I think you should be starting.
Yeah, I like how you glossed over like really heavy shit for the Cardinals, like throwing in Rosen with like 2 minutes left and they need to win the game. Like,
yeah, that's like an insane thing to do, right?
What are you doing?
Is their coaching staff like, do they have like some sort of, I'm trying to avoid being offensive.
Mental deficiency.
Yeah, it's just like, what, like, between the way that they've play called for David Johnson, between the way that they've used him, between throwing Josh Rosen in and just like, hey, kid, go win the game, you know, like against the best defense in the league. Like,
yeah. Well, that like right off the bat, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, just let fucking Bradford just die. Like, let him die out there. Like, he earned that opportunity to just, you know, not be the starter anymore. So like during that game, like he completely blew it for them. It was a close game. Let him finish the game out and then call Rosen. Like, we're calling him up. It's fine. He's good to go. But you throw him in there against the Bears. And then like on third and two, and you're about to cross midfield, you run fucking Chase Edmonds out there with no David Johnson. Like, you are the worst team in the league. You're worse than the Bills.
And that's the thing that gives me pause in terms of the ability for, you know, them to improve on what they've done. Larry Fitzgerald, he does have an injury too. He didn't practice today, or I believe he was limited. I forget which one. I don't think that matters. I think you're not playing him. The Ricky Seals-Jones train is – I know he caught a touchdown the second I got off of him.
That was the funniest thing.
Please do not – dude, infuriating. Like, infuriating. I don't think you should get back on him because he caught that touchdown. And David Johnson, you just need to continue to ride. You need to hope that this coaching staff gets their collective head out of their collective asshole – and figure it out from there.
Yes, collective everything. Just get it out of things, especially at their assholes.
Let's talk about the Seahawks before I start like headbutting my computer. The Seahawks also have been pretty disappointing. I mean, I know they beat the Cowboys this past week. Chris Carson had a huge game, but. Do you think Russell Wilson is still a fantasy must start?
No. And like, part of me is like, this matchup isn't great either. So like, obviously the second you fade Russell Wilson, he's going to do his magical shit and put up 32 points. But like at that point, I don't even give a shit. I'm going to drop him for Andy Dalton. I'm going to drop him for Baker Mayfield. Like I'm pretty much done with Russell Wilson and I have owned zero shares. I'm just sick of watching him put up dud after dud and like just kind of be subpar. And it's because their team is subpar. They're not a powerhouse. They don't have a defense to back it up anymore. Really, defense is decent. Offense is decent, but they're just not a team that's going to go out there and destroy someone.
Yeah. Dalton's a better start this week than Russell Wilson is. I don't think it's even close.
Oh, so. Easily. Tannehill's I would drop Russell Wilson for Tannehill. Pick him up and play him.
Yeah, we actually didn't talk about the one that we'll talk about next, but there might be a guy in the next game who might be a better start who you're going to be like, ah, really? But might be a better start.
Oh, you sack of shit.
I might mean it, dude. all right, let's talk about his pass-catching targets. Tyler Lockett has scored a touchdown in every single game so far, but even without those, he would have a weekly low of 9 fantasy points. I think he's a guy you can kind of run out there until further notice.
Yeah, and then I know Baldwin might be returning this game, but yeah, Lockett's been great. I like Lockett.
Yeah, I think the return of Baldwin honestly might even make Lockett more appealing to me because you've got Baldwin in this you're kicking Lockett outside full time where, you know, you've got people in the slot kind of concentrating on Baldwin. He becomes the focal point of what the defense is looking at, and then you've got Lockett on the outside to break more big plays than what he's currently doing. So I think either way, whether or not Baldwin is back, I like Lockett going forward. I don't like any of the other pass catchers, though. They're not getting enough targets. Don't pick up Will Disley, please.
I called that to a T. I said he would fuck you, and he fucked you dry. He got 0.3 points. Blow me, everybody. I hate Will Disley. I hate breakout tight ends that are garbage.
It was more just his usage was bad. I don't know shit about the guy. Yeah, he might be like a real nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not calling him out as a person. Just I hate when this happens and everyone gets on him. I'm like, please stop. Just don't do that shit to yourself.
Yeah.
And it happened. It happened.
All right. What about Chris Carson, who had 32 carries this past week? Do you think he's worth a start here?
He'll never see that even close for the rest of the season, so I'm going to stay away. Even in a game with, like, a positive game script, he'll see opportunity.
Would you rather start him or Marshawn Lynch?
Oh, Lynch, for sure.
Okay, what about him or Kenyon Drake?
Wow. Man, that sucks. I would go Drake, though. I really don't like the Seahawks offense. Run-wise, reliability, and, like, whatever Pete Carroll decides to do.
Okay, that's fair. I think I'd go Carson over Drake, not over Lynch, but I don't know. That's the kind of range I guess we have him in. Do you have anyone else on the Seahawks you need to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, Brandon Marshall's kind of been floating around, but if Baldwin's back and Lockett's ready to rock, like, nah, not anymore.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's pick this one. Who do you have in this?
Seahawks fat under.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seahawks and under. Let's do one more before we take a break. We'll do Saints at Giants. Saints are a road favorite by 3.5. Over under is 50. I hinted at it before. I think you can start Eli Manning in this game. Let's talk about the Giants first. Eli, dude, hasn't been the worst this season. Facing a defense that has given up a lot of points. One of their starting cornerbacks just went down to injury. They don't have shit for their other cornerbacks. Yeah, I'm in on Eli. Am I a piece of shit like you alluded to, or am I all right?
No, you're not. All right, you're still a piece of shit, but not the biggest one.
Okay.
It's certainly a reasonable, like, I just could never wrap, like, Eli and Joe Flacco, like, I would never have the mental ability to pick them up, drop somebody, put them into my starting lineup and be like, this is what I'm doing for Sunday. It's just so rough to do every single time. But the matchup, like, this should be a decent shootout, the highest over and under next to the Bengals Falcons game. So they are anticipating a lot of points to be scored. And if Eli doesn't suck, then they're going to have a great game, which is a lot, like, it's such a stupid thing to say, but Eli has been prone to sucking sometimes. So it's tough to trust him, but their offense is still pretty good. And it might, like, it's kind of one of those things, like, Evan Ingram's going to be out. So they're sort of going to have to rely on their playmakers more, like Odell. Shepard's going to be way more involved. Saquon's going to get more carries. So they might even be more balanced as opposed to trying to get opportunities to every single other person. Even with, like, Rhett Ellison coming in, like, it just seems like they could be more balanced, but I'm so nervous about rolling out somebody like Eli.
That's fair. You know, I just think I'm, like, willing to start with confidence this week. Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, and Sterling Shepard. As you said, Evan Ingram's going to be out. I'm like, I think all three of those are not just must starts, but, like, elite starts, even Sterling Shepard. Particularly because I think Marshawn Lattimore will be shadowing Odell Beckham, which leaves Shepard on these cornerbacks that have just, I mean, one of, like, God, I forget the guy's name, but the one who had Ridley in the slot last week gave up 3 touchdowns to Calvin Ridley, you know, like, that's the kind of cornerbacks we're talking about right now.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, number 2s have killed the Saints.
Yeah, absolutely murdered them. And number 1s have done pretty well too. So you shouldn't be worried about Beckham in that sense. But, like, there's just, I feel like there's so many points to go around in this game, and they're all going to go to about 6 people. So yeah, it's a great game to attack in that sense.
So for Don's sake, let's talk about some Cody Lattimore action.
Okay.
I was just kidding. I don't want to talk about him at all.
I mean, we can. Like, there's a chance he has a good game. I don't think, like, if you were – here's the thing about Cody Lattimore is if you were going to play him, this would be the week, and I don't think you can have enough confidence to play him this week.
I will compare him to the Mohamed Sanu play in that Bengals-Falcons game. It's about the same upside and about the same floor. The dude could sneak in a touchdown and, like, 4 to 6 catches, but you don't necessarily want to do that.
Yeah, he's kind of like a bargain basement DFS like tournament play as well. There's another guy in the games that I'll bring up in the same sort of way.
Is it Cam Meredith?
No, it's not. We'll okay. Get there. Not in this game, but in the games to come. But like you said, Sanu, that kind of play, Lattimore. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think you should be touching him in any league with less than 16 teams. You know, but yeah, that's about it.
Right. Super fair.
Let's move to the Saints side of the ball. Obviously Drew Brees is, you know, a good start. I don't know if he's going to rush in 2 touchdowns this week, but he's a good start. And then the Saints offense has gone almost exclusively to Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. Do you see that going any different against the Giants this week?
No. The only thing worth noting for these must starts every single week is Kamara was a little banged up with a knee injury, so he's been limited at practice. But yeah, Breeze, Kamara, Thomas, insane, absolutely insane. The volume all three of these guys have had is insane. I'll say it again, the fifth time. But it's I'm worried, not worried, but just very curious to see what happens when Ingram gets back next week. I feel like they might get back to that balanced approach and we'll see less out of Thomas. Kamara might still be ridiculous, but in that low volume state. So I'm loving what they're doing right now. I'm just anticipating to be let down for like maybe the next half of the season.
That's fair. Fun fact on Michael Thomas, first player in NFL history to have at least 10 receptions in all three games of the first 3 weeks of the season. Just really wild shit how this offense has been so prolific and it's all been to 2 players. Obviously some of the touchdowns have gone elsewhere. And I think if you're desperate, you can maybe run Ted Ginn out, but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Meredith before. He's probably in the same boat as like Lattimore and Sanu, cause he's going to be in the shootout and getting more acclimated to the offense, scored a touchdown last week. But yeah, Ted Ginn would be the guy that is safer and will probably see more opportunities.
Cool. And then just before we move on, Ben Watson.
Yeah, I'll actually agree with that one. Yeah, Breeze likes him, but they just don't need him, so they don't look to him. But he could sneak in a touchdown against like the Giants, who are very prone to giving that up.
Cool. I'm right there with you on that. I'm going to take the Saints, and I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, same. Saints and over for me as well.
All right. 49. Oh, wait, sorry. We're going to take a quick break, guys. We're going to hear from Auction Draft, and we'll be right back.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
All right, guys, that was Auction Draft. Make sure you are checking them out. Vinny, we got 3 more games. We got some questions from the readers, and we're going to go ahead and get through those. So, next game, 49ers at Chargers. Chargers are a 10.5-point favorite. The over-under is 46.5. Obviously, the big news here is Jimmy Garoppolo out for the season, torn ACL. That fucking sucks. I don't know, man. It's hard to be confident in really any 49ers here. But with C.J. Beathard however you pronounce it, with him at quarterback, who are you confident playing on this team?
Nobody really. Like, Marquise Goodwin, I think, can go right out the door. I think he's borderline droppable at this point. Because Beathard last year did not throw deep at all, and you know Goodwin makes his hay there. So I'm not loving that. I'd like to say Pierre would see an uptick in at least targets, but he has been just not good at all, even with Jimmy G at the quarterback helm. So I'm really worried about this offense. I really don't like anybody anymore.
Yeah. The only person who I'm still mildly interested in is Matt Breida, just because he's been prolific the past couple weeks. He hasn't done it on the most usage in the world, and that's worrisome, particularly when they'll be able to focus in more on him. But I think he'll kind of get the usage that a running back should, and you should never really count out a Kyle Shanahan running back. So Breida is pretty much the only one I'm looking to start. I'm out on George Kittle until we have more data on him, because he really didn't do all that much with Beathard last year, which is surprising because they were college teammates, so you think they would. But yeah, what do you think about Breida?
It's tough to, like, his usage has been pretty much equal to Morris, and Morris has seen touchdown upside. So it is tough to say that Breida is like going to be a workhorse now. Like, I could easily see it flipping to where Morris could see more of an uptick in fantasy opportunity, just because I don't even know, like, what they would want to establish the run, but Breida is a different type of running back than Morris, and I think they would want to slow down some game script, so I think that more suits Morris's durability. But like, that just makes, like, me explaining it just makes me hate both of them, because they were already splitting to begin with Jimmy G at the quarterback helm, and Beathard comes in and just kind of ruins it all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them being able to slow shit down. I mean, I think the Chargers are just going to get out to a lead and kind of have to go from there. So that's why I'm more on Breida, I guess. Though you can make an argument, even with that Kyle Juszczyk will take some of, like, the passing down capabilities there.
Hell yeah, you will.
So maybe we'll talk about fantasy asset Kyle Juszczyk at some point this year. We're not quite there yet, but honestly, I don't think we're that far away. Let's move to the Chargers side of the ball. You're starting Phillip, you're starting Keenan, you're starting Melvin Gordon. And then I feel like you can start Mike Williams and Austin Eckler. Like, that, I feel like it's pretty cut and dry here, right?
Yeah, that was very cut and dry. I would, I really don't have much to add. I will just say that I am frustrated with myself for saying quarterback helm like three times in the last like 3 minutes. I was like, what the fuck are you saying? So I just wanted to get that out there, because that bothered me. I'm sure that bothered a lot of people. Just like, what the fuck is he saying? That's just two words that are weird. Like, over and over, quarterback helm. Yes, CJ Beathard at the quarterback helm. What a jerk off.
You know, yeah, what would make you sound even better? Just saying it more and more.
Yeah.
Who's at the quarterback helm for the Chargers here, dude?
Sound like I'm talking, like, covering ESPN's Monday Night. They are awful. Who's at the quarterback helm, Jason Witten? I have no idea.
Didn't Jason Witten say someone was in the red zone when they were on the 37-yard line this past week or some shit like that?
He hasn't been good, but so that's very possible. He's actually probably where I picked up quarterback helm.
Yeah, so blame Jason Witten for all of, like, the stupid shit that me and Vinny say.
I will. Yeah, you're dead on with the Chargers offense. It's almost start everybody. I would say Gates, you don't have to play, but if you're a ballsy type of dude, possibly catches a touchdown.
Yeah, and regarding the wide receiver split, because it's something that we talked about earlier in the year, Mike Williams is out-targeted Tyrell Williams 15-11. And Mike Williams has three touchdowns, so he's a guy who they're looking to in the red zone. I think it's clear at this point that out of the two Williams, he's the guy to play.
Yeah, I'm going to lose that bet to Don, like, straight up. I'm pretty upset. Tyrell's doing shit.
I'm probably going to lose that Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams one too, but I don't know.
That's
losing bets to Don just feels, like, really bad.
Well, we forgot he's an idiot savant, so, like, we should have been smarter.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, I don't think we really have too much else on this one. Who are you picking here?
I'm going to take the Chargers, and I'm going to take the under, too.
I'm going to take the Chargers and the over, because I think the Chargers are going to put up like 38 points.
themselves. Yeah, they might throw up 40.
Yeah, just like a solid like 40 point. Like, I'm trying to think what's like a football score that'll work.
They score like 38, like, and like the 49ers get in the end zone for just once.
Yeah, like 38-10, like that kind of game where we get the over and the Chargers win by 28 points.
Of which, this is, you know, kicker stuff, but Robbie Gould, take him out, pick somebody else up, because their offense is way less dynamic now.
Very good point. You want kickers in offenses that you think are going to score points, and we no longer think the Niners are going to score points. That's a good reminder to me, because I have to do my waivers after this, and I have Robbie Gould on a team.
Oh, fuck. I shouldn't have said shit.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, what do we podcast for?
Yeah, to remind each other about your kicker waivers. That's the only reason. Let's move on to the Sunday night game. We've got Ravens at Steelers. The Steelers are a 3-point favorite. Over-under here is 51 points. The AFC North has, like, historically been, like, you know, cold divisional matchups and defense and whatever. And now we got an over-under of 51. And I think it's well-warranted. Both of these offensives have been pretty spectacular this year so far. Let's start on the Ravens side of the ball. We mentioned Joe Flacco earlier as someone who you might be able to play, and you're going to have to grit your teeth and, you know, that sort of thing. But, like, man, like, I think you can play him pretty easily. Like, I think he's in a decent spot here. Are you down with the Flacco?
I'm not down, but I understand why you are down. I don't think it's ever easy to play Flacco, but in this matchup, it's looking pretty good. I think if you're a guy that had Jimmy G and a lot of guys are taken up, Flacco's most certainly out on the waivers. So if you're at the bottom of the barrel for waivers, Flacco's certainly there. That might become more of an easier situation, but with other guys out there, Flacco's still at the bottom tier for me as far as streamers. But yeah, with this over-under, they should put up some points big time.
Okay. And let's talk about his number one pass catcher, John Brown, who has had 19 targets over the past 2 weeks. I think he's pretty much an auto start. Unless you have like solid wide receivers over him, I think he should be playing John Brown.
Yeah, I agree. One thing to note, he was not in full pads and didn't practice. So he was just out catching passes on the practice field. So in like street clothes. So not the greatest sign. And I'm not really sure what the injury is, but it's something to definitely keep tabs on, because should John Brown miss, Crabtree becomes a must play. And then Willie Snead becomes very interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. If John Brown does play, are you still in on Crabtree?
Crabtree hasn't really taken off, but I think at some point in like a game like this, Crabtree could sneak in a touchdown. So I think he's warranted a start.
Yeah, his floor's still been there too. He's gotten at least 10 targets in each of the past two games. Him and Brown are pretty much being targeted equally. The difference being that Brown has more valuable targets. He's been getting targeted more on deep passes, and he's been able to get in the end zone. Let's talk about this running back split. And it really has been pretty much an even split between Alex Collins and between Buck Allen. Buck Allen has managed to fall into the end zone at least once for each of the past 3 weeks, which as an Alex Collins owner, like, God damn, Alex.
I want to scream.
When you watch the Ravens and you watch Alex Collins run, you're like, man, that guy's good. He's making people miss. He's like hitting guys and they're bouncing off of him. And then you watch Buck Allen. Buck Allen doesn't have more than 44 yards in a single game. Like, that's passing and rushing combined. So, like, what the fuck are we doing with giving him half the snaps, getting him red zone touches? Like, Alex Collins is, if you gave Alex Collins like, you know, the kind of workload that a guy like Todd Gurley is getting, I think Alex Collins would be a top 10 running back in the NFL, but we're not. We're giving half the work to Buck Allen, who is like the same amount of meh as Lamar Miller. You know, it's just like maybe even more meh than Lamar Miller. But that being said, what do we do with this, given the fact that they are splitting pretty evenly?
I'm having a really tough time as like a Collins owner, like across most of my leagues. And it's driving me nuts because Alex Collins, like we wouldn't even be talking about this right now if Alex Collins got those touchdowns for sure. Cause he would have about fucking 5 to 7 of them right now. So it's in the first 3 fucking weeks. All they have to do is feed this guy at the goal line or give him 18 plus carries in one game. And I think this could potentially be the one because these games tend to be a little more gritty than they appear on paper, but with the over and under 51, I think you can at least be comfortable with Collins getting some goal line opportunities, but we have seen Buck take them for no apparent reason whatsoever, which makes Collins hard to sit and Buck sort of enticing if you're having a difficult time at the running back situation, like if you drafted Bell or something like that, and he was definitely a waiver ad for you. So I think both are playable. It's just, man, is it tough to read what they're going to do, but they're both guys you could play.
Yeah, it's annoying and it's very frustrating, but in a game with this many points expected to be scored, I think Collins is an RB2 and I think Buck Allen is a flex. I think he should be pretty comfortable playing both of them in this week. And if you're playing Buck Allen, just hope he falls into the end zone again. But yeah, it's worth noting on the Ravens front that Hayden Hurst returned to practice. I don't think he's going to play this week, but they have thrown a lot to tight ends. It's just been to a bunch of different tight ends. And if Hayden Hurst comes back and starts getting all of the snaps, then that's something to keep in mind. So keep that at the very, very back burner of your mind. Do not put it to the front.
Dennis Pitta revived.
Dennis Pitta, Franken Pitta, back from the dead. Right. No. That should be his nickname, Franken Pitta, if he comes out and starts having catches where he gets 11 targets for 8 catches and 67 yards. Just Franken Pitta. Anyway.
Yeah, we should only refer to him as Franken Pitta and never explain who it is.
Way to alienate new listeners. Good job, guys. Yeah, all right.
Fuck 'em.
Steelers side of the ball. Play every single person.
Yeah. I would just ask you, who's your preferred tight end play? Because I would lean Vance McDonald.
Yeah, I think it's Vance McDonald. I don't think it's particularly close. He was coming off an injury in the first couple of games of the year, and it seems like he's the guy. Well, we know he's the more dynamic pass catcher when fully healthy, and it seems like he's the guy that will be running more routes, getting more targets, that sort of thing going forward. So when I say play everyone, I don't mean Jesse James. I mean Ben. I mean Brown, Smith-Schuster, Connor, and Vance McDonald.
Yes, correct. They should all be very good.
Cool. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to take the Ravens and the over.
All right. I'm going to go Steelers also over. All right. On to the Monday night game, which is also the highest over under of the week. Chiefs at Broncos. Chiefs are road favorites, 5-point favorite. Over under is 56 points. What else can you really say about the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes? This is another one where it's just such an easy play everyone game, right?
Yeah, it's tough to – like, dude, I got Sammy Watkins played against me the other week, and I was like, oh, God, he's going to catch a touchdown. Lo and behold, he catches a touchdown. It's really roll everybody out straight up. Mahomes, Hunt, Hill, Watkins, Kelsey, all of them.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Kareem Hunt has been losing work on passing downs and in the 2-minute drill to Spencer Ware and Damian Williams. But like in a game like this, you just need to keep playing him. The touchdown equity is very high. And at some point he's going to, you know, break a big play, that kind of thing, which he hasn't really done yet this season. But yeah,
he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing Mahomes, you're playing Kelsey, you're playing Tyreek Hill, you're playing Watkins, you're playing Kareem Hunt. Yeah, that's like pretty much it, I guess. But like, It's so easy with the Chiefs right now. It's just so easy.
Yeah, they're disgusting. I was actually watching the replay of their game before we started podcasting against oh my God, who I'm spacing on them. Oh, the 49ers. They just, dude, they line up and you're like, this play could go to anybody and it's going to be a first down. Like any of the people they have out there. And you can see like the way they line up, you're just like, this is going to happen. And they just shred people. They have too many playmakers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on the Broncos side of the ball, I think it's a play everyone game too. Case Keenum is a great streamer. Emmanuel Sanders has been efficient as fuck this year. Demaryius Thomas hasn't, but he's gotten 26 targets over the first 3 weeks, which leads the team. You're not going to sit a guy who's getting what is that? 8 targets a game, 8.5 targets a game. In this sort of matchup and with this high of an over under, you just can't do it. And then Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, I think, are both great plays too. Philip Lindsay was disappointing this past week, but that's just because he started punching dudes from the bottom of the pile and got ejected.
I
And then
think he thought he was on like a deeper pile than he was, and he was just like basically like exposed to everybody, just throwing like these little ratty punches. And they're just like, dude, what are you doing? Get out of here.
But am I wrong there that all of them are playable?
No, definitely. Case Keenum is one of my favorite streamers this week. Dude, going against the Chiefs is the best thing you can ask for. Positive game script. Their defense is ass. So, like, Case Keenum should be throwing it out there. DT's going to have a great game. Sanders is going to have an awesome game. Royce Freeman is difficult to trust, but like, he's been getting into the end zone, and they are kind of working their way to a split between him and Lindsey, and that makes them both playable every single week.
Yeah, absolutely. And then here's the last guy that I said I thought was in Cody Latimer, Mohamed Sanu territory, Courtland Sutton. He's the third wide receiver for the Broncos. He's been running on the outside most of the time. Only 5 catches to start the season, but he's out there for almost all the snaps. He's running routes. They're throwing the ball to him, but he hasn't quite really gotten the efficiency. He hasn't gotten the catches yet. And in this really favorable matchup, there's a chance that Courtland Sutton breaks a big game.
I like the call, but I would never make the play. I
Oh
would
no,
not go like that.
he's a bargain basement DFS tournament play.
Yeah, that's also a guy I would like play or prop, throw like a touchdown on, and just be like, he'll catch a touchdown.
It's like that kind of thing where if you're in, a 10-team league, a 12-team league, maybe even a 14-team league, like, fuck no, stay away. There's no reason to do it. The guy has 5 catches in 3 games. But if you need a dirt cheap wide receiver to complete your roster in the Millie Maker this week, hey, Courtland Sutton, that's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, we've said worse things on on today's podcast. So
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
I'm
I've
with
said dumber things within the past 20 minutes for sure.
Yeah, that was yeah, definitely. And like just the shootout mentality straight up,
I started this
alone is enough
podcast by
opportunity.
saying to play Dallas Goddard at tight end. And
Yeah,
like,
I tried to shoot that down, but we have not changed pace, man. And just like so many
no.
people at the quarterback helm, like it's just a good podcast.
There's just a lot of helms and a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of QBs at the quarterback helm.
We've
So yeah,
talked
fun.
about so many lame ass wide receiver threes. Like it's
Yeah.
just been brutal.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen to us. No, I mean, you guys get it at this point. It's a play everyone game, so there are people who you can kind of take a swing on and see if it works out. Courtland Sutton's one of those people. I guess the last thing to do is pick this one. Who you got?
Oh, I would like to take the Broncos in an upset, but I'm not going to do that. Chiefs over.
I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes until like he gives me a reason to bet against him.
Correct.
All right. We have some questions. Let me pull them up on my phone here. All right. So, first question here, Fitzpatrick or Philip Rivers?
Phillip Rivers, easy.
Yep, same to me. Second question is not a question. It just says thanks to y'all. I'm 3-0. Thank you. That's glad good to hear. The guy's also name his name is Bitch, I'm Clo. All right, cool. Anyway, next question from MVP Gunny. Trade for, oh wait, god damn, Shrek, you gotta send me, this guy's question doesn't finish. Yeah, I don't think we can answer that. This is what happens when you get questions on the fly, ladies and gentlemen. Next question. Sorry, what's up?
No, I think he just put periods at the end because he's not sure. So it says, trade Melvin Gordon, Marvin Jones, and Jack Doyle for Keenan Allen, Carlos Hyde, and Travis, I would assume Kelce.
I would guess Kelce, yeah. Okay, so he's trying to trade Gordon, Jones, and Jack Doyle for Keenan Allen, Carlos Hyde, and Travis Kelce. I think I do that.
Yeah, you're upgrading at everything but running back.
Yeah.
But I like it, and I feel like that's an even one. So if you're looking to level out your team, I think that's not the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, definitely. I think you win that trade, MVP Gunny. Next question, Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson this week? Vin, who you got there?
I'm going to go Deshaun Watson.
I'm also going to go Watson. Next question from Ronaldo De Bruyne. Lynch or Alex Collins for running back two, and then Keelan Cole or Jamal Williams in the flex.
Fuck. So I'm going to lean Collins just because we talked about the high over under and touchdown potential, and just like Collins could easily have more touchdowns than he does. So same. This game would certainly be one where he could get it more so than Lynch's like fluky three in a row.
Yeah. The next part sucks.
Yeah, that part sucks. Man, you know what? Fuck it. I would go Jamal Williams. Hope he falls in the end zone because I don't trust Cole.
I think PPR, I go Cole. I think standard, I go Williams. That's a fucking cop-out answer. I don't want to say that. but whatever. I'm going to say it. The other one I think we answered last podcast. And then, oh yeah, Shrek said bottom right is a repeat. All right, cool. We're figuring this all out on the air. And then one more question here from My Beard Wins on Instagram. Who are a few of your favorite DFS value plays this week? This is tough because I haven't really delved too deep into prices yet. But I think we talked about, I mean, like in terms of some of the bottom basement wide receivers, we definitely gave you some of them. And like, this is tournament plays. This isn't like I'm trying to like grind head to heads or like play doubles up, like double ups rather. Like, I'm not recommending you play Cortland Sutton in a head-to-head against, you know, a random person. But Cortland Sutton, I think, is one that would be interesting for sure. You know, we talked about Cody Latimer. What were some others that we had here?
I would say higher level guys like Mike Williams is a good play.
Taylor Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel for sure. His target share is insane and probably the most preferred matchup that he's had so far. Definitely that one. We talked about Sanu a lot.
He's definitely like Antonio Callaway also.
Callaway, if Boyd is Tyler Boyd is priced lower than he should be, definitely Tyler Boyd. He works in very favorable, especially with the green news. So I wonder how they priced him. But yeah, you're right. Wish we sort of priced this out, but yeah, these are some names that we can just rattle off.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like or look running back, that kind of thing. I feel like it's harder to find value running backs. But depending on their prices, Sony Michel and James White would probably be value guys this week. Geo is probably priced too high to really be considered a value. What else? Yeah, this is tough because I normally don't even really look at like DFS prices until Friday when I start building lineups. But at tight end, definitely Dallas Goedert.
Fair enough. I'll bend the knee to that one. Quincy Enunwa is a sneaky if you're trying to get one up on like a tournament, I think, because seeing work over the slot for the Jags, like you see the Jags and you're like, that sucks. But as we talked about in the last podcast, the most work will get done against the Jags over the middle. So it's an interesting one.
Probably pretty low owned, you are correct there. Other than that, I just had one, and what was it?
Oh, Ted Ginn too.
Vance McDonald might be an interesting tight end play. I don't think he's probably very high priced.
Oh, also Rhett Ellison, if we're talking tight end plays too.
Wait, what?
Ellison, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. If Sterling Shepard is cheap too, that's a great play.
Ooh, yeah, also that.
All right. Well, we're thinking on our feet here, Vinny. We're getting some answers out there. Again, these are all without having really looked at prices. We're kind of just guessing who's going to be low priced and going from there. But if it comes down to it, what we can do is, and what we probably should do is probably my friend on Instagram, we will get you a written answer later in the week once we've actually really looked at this shit. So keep an eye out for that. Vinny, what do you want to leave the people with going into week four?
Embrace for the worst. This is this is gonna be a fun week.
Oh wow.
But like this is a turning point. Like every fourth week of the season, just a drastic change happens because week one is insane. Week two, we try to overcorrect. Week three is stupid. Week four, we start to see like maybe some patterns develop, and then it starts to, you know, turn into something we can kind of figure out season long and matchups that are true as opposed to like fluky plays. So this is definitely a turning point throughout the NFL season, especially for fantasy, certain players. So buckle down for the long haul, prepare for the worst, brave the storm that is week four, but it should, the matchups are pretty neat. I like all the games. I hope they would all be close, but we did go through some disasters, so I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
there are a handful of shootouts that I think should happen. Saints Giants should be a shootout. Bengals Falcons shootout, and then the Sunday night game shootout.
The night games are all pretty sick this week, which is awesome.
Yes.
I'm very pumped on those. The Thursday, Sunday, though by the time you're listening to this, Thursday will have already happened. But Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, I think, are all very cool games. Should be a ton of fun. And I think you're right where, like, this was the first week when I was doing my research. I was like, okay, like, this is the first week I've brought in DVOA in terms of, like, stats or that sort of thing. Because it's like, okay, now we have three games. We have something that we can try and fit into a pattern, something we can try and fit into a narrative, and we can try and actually figure out what's happening with these teams as opposed to just kind of blindly guessing and hoping we're correct. So we're starting to get to that point where we can look at this year's statistics and really have an idea of what's going on. And I think that's really exciting. I think you're right where this week is probably like the hopefully the last week of just like, oh man, we're going to get blindsided by a bunch of weird shit. But but we'll see what happens. After that, hopefully we can have some more precise types of things based on, you know, what's happened this year as opposed to based on sort of conjecture. You got anything
also,
else?
I was just saying, this is kind of the week where you start to panic or not panic because your team yes. is either like 0-4 or like 1-3 after this week. So this is when we start, you know, delving more into trade opportunities or guys who are you're looking to target long range or people you want to sell and dump off. So we definitely start talking more trade throughout, like, you know, weeks 4+. Things like that. It's just, this is where you start to get more settled in and ready for the long haul. Like either your team is good and you're okay. You're not sure what your team is yet, or you're just fucking bad. So this is the clarity week for you, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. The clarity week, the week of clarity. Yeah, that's it. That'll do us for the week four preview. We hope you guys enjoyed. We hope you guys have an excellent week four. We will be back with the week four recap. That'll be hitting your phones, hitting your podcast apps on Wednesday morning of next week. And yeah, best of luck, guys. For Vinny, I am Walsh. This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.